Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that lion boy is on the right babe. Not that man.
Everyone wants to sing the open. Come on, Pete, leave me alone.
Back in town.
McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. Let's get this week started. I got you for 3 hours till 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the baseball. We'll get to Juan Soto. We'll get to Gerrit Cole and his opt-out. About 15 hours away from the deadline on that situation. But let's start with the New York Giants. Why not? And Daniel Jones. And where we are with the New York Giants, which is the same place we've been forever. I'm getting tired of this. I was just talking with Fliegelman on the other side. We know what this is. Here we go.
Well, Daniel Jones wasn't the reason they lost today, Chris. If you want, he threw for two touchdowns.
Yeah, for the first time in 600 days, Daniel Jones put the ball in the end zone. The offense had its moments. Daniel Jones wasn't the reason they lost. 100% true. It doesn't change the fact of where they are. And you watch this team as they lose to the Commanders 27-22, fall to 2-7, 0-5 at home, playing just pitiful, disgusting football yet again. Here we are as we watch the landscape of football, right? Daniels doing what he did to the Giants and beating them again, a team that the Giants have typically always handled, even in the lowest of lows. Even in the lowest of lows. The Giants have played well against Washington and found ways to win ball games against the Washington Commanders, Redskins, football team, whatever. They found a way in this terrible Daniel Jones era to at least beat them. And now they're just a laughingstock. And at 2-7, yet again, they can't beat the Commanders. They can't beat the Cowboys, who can't beat anybody else. The Eagles, forget about it. And we're watching Saquon Barkley, and I know it bothers some people more than others, but he's making some of the more incredible moves. He's jumping backwards over. He's hurtling backwards. And the Giants are at the bottom of this division, and it's not even close. And you watch Drake May pull off miracles to get that lousy, lousy Patriots team into overtime. And the Giants are sitting here with the same crap we see every week. And here we go. We'll talk about it, right? Well,
hey, look, you know, it's not his fault. The offensive line's no good. The defense had its issues. The coach is an idiot for going for two, and we'll get to that whole situation. Daniel Jones wasn't the reason they lost. No, he wasn't the reason they lost completely. He wasn't an absolute disaster. But I'm tired of watching this team and watching them do what they do, which is maybe on some days, most of the time, get their ass kicked. But every once in a while, just play good enough to lose. Just play good enough to lose. And now at 2-7, any Giant fan who had any hopes of sort of turning this season into anything has to understand what we're looking at.
We are looking at one of the worst teams in the NFL yet again. We are looking at a dead season just a couple of days after Halloween. And we are looking at the Giants doing what they need to do, which is if, and it all comes down, and I heard Connor Hughes mention this, and he's 100% right. I've been saying it for forever. If you go back to last year, right, and I hate to do it, but we're on parallel. It's every year we're on this parallel train. We're on the same road every single year. And if you look at last year, what the Giants didn't do, right? Because they were afraid of the team crumbling. They didn't want to trade Saquon Barkley because, oh, the team might crumble. They didn't want to make the moves and trade away some pieces because the season might fall apart. Well, here's the bottom line about this. The season has fallen. It is over. So now that it's over, if we are going to continue to go with this coach who has provided an offense as inept as any in recent history with the New York Giants, as bad as anybody else calling the plays, as bad as anybody else under center, as bad as anybody, 22 points feels like a miracle, doesn't it? Especially in this building, it feels like a miracle. But if we are going to stick with this coach, if we're going to stick with this GM that allows Saquon Barkley to embarrass him on a weekly basis, as we look at some of the failed draft picks from this GM, if we are going to have faith in them and if we are going to believe in them and if the owner is going to give them this vote of confidence that's going to keep them around, there is no reason not to start right now doing what they need to do, and that is trade everybody and bench the quarterback. We're at that point. I can't watch it anymore. I can't look for meaningless victories anymore. I can't sit here and argue and parse words and try and figure out exactly who's to blame for the loss when I know exactly who's to blame for not winning. Because you watch Jaden Daniels, and he didn't have a phenomenal game. Two touchdowns, just enough. 209 yards, 15 of 22. And you look at Daniel Jones, 20 of 26. Wow, that's pretty accurate. Look at that. 174 yards, two touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. Wow, great. Who won the football game? Who's leading his team into the postseason after 1 year of being the dregs of the NFL for decades? Who's raising the level of his team and who isn't? Like, it's just the same over and over again. And I'm telling you right now, just, you know, I heard Lori talking about it. There's rumors Azeez Ojulari, who's gotten a decent pass rush this year and is playing well. Move him for anything. Anybody who's not going to be a key cog moving forward. And that's damn near everybody. This trade deadline needs to be attacked. Now, they don't have, unfortunately, the ability of or a person of the Saquon Barkley talent to try and go out and move and get legitimate pieces for. But it is over. Move everyone, and especially if this coach is not coaching for his job. Especially, and I know what's frustrating is there isn't a Jaden Daniels in the draft this year. At least we don't think so. There isn't even a Drake May, who, again, isn't perfect, but he's playing with a miserable Patriots team, and he's making incredible plays to send it to overtime, lifting them. They've gotten a bump of juice since he's been the starting quarterback. I really hope we all enjoyed watching Tommy DeVito win some games last year. I really hope we all remember how fun it was for him to beat the Green Bay Packers, or how fun it was to beat the New England Patriots. Oh, do you remember that big touchdown against the Patriots? No, I don't. I don't remember anything about that game. I don't remember a damn thing. Because it was a meaningless, pointless, in reality, harmful victory. And I don't want any more. Next week in Germany, against the Panthers is the most important game they'll play this season by far. They have to find a way to lose it. That's where we are. They're playing the Panthers, two wins, coming off a victory of their own. Hopefully the Panthers are galvanized. They can figure out a way to beat the lousy Giants because I don't want that third win. Because Because where has it gotten them? They're in the same spot they've been in for years. It doesn't do anything for them. And even Daniel Jones, like, I get it. He wasn't terrible in this game. He had his moments in this game. He threw two touchdown passes. I mean, he's got zero passing yards in the first half. I don't know if I've ever, four for four with a touchdown and zero passing yards in the first half of this game? How is that possible? And that's not all on him. And the offense, you know, the way they tried to run the football and, you know, the defense letting a big plays in this game at inopportune times. Like, I watched this game. I'm with you. He's not the 100% reason they lost, but he never leads them to victory. Like, ever. And you watch his touchdown run, that touchdown run is the exact reason I don't want him playing next week. It's time to end it. That touchdown run is exactly why Daniel Jones should not be the starting quarterback next week. Because for whatever I want to say about Daniel Jones, and as frustrated as I am watching him play, he is tough as nails. I will give him that. This guy is a tough son of a gun. He takes on contact. You saw him in that touchdown run? He takes on a defensive end, brushes him aside, and gets in the end zone. I'm impressed. But this dude has a neck injury and can get hurt at any moment, and he's taking on contact. He gets hit too much, whether it's the poor offensive line giving sacks, obviously the terrible turnover in this game. I didn't even get to it. Again, it's not his fault they lost this game, but that's a putrid turnover in a spot where how many years does he have to play before he realizes he has to get rid of that ball quicker or just hold on to it and take a sack? But I can't have him hurt and back on this team next year. I can't. I can't watch it anymore. I can't go into these seasons knowing they don't have a real chance to win. I can't do it anymore. And that touchdown run is exactly why. Because he's a tough son of a gun. Because he doesn't go down. Because he wants that yard desperately. Because he won't just slide when he realizes he's going up against at the end. That's exactly why he can't play. Getting Daniel Jones hurt is the worst case scenario this team could have. And if there is belief in this coach, and again, I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't, but if this owner tells them they have their job, and you're looking at these two, what do they do? I've been saying it forever. What do they do? They're here because they drafted and developed Josh Allen. Granted, this quarterback class coming out isn't what last year's was, but I don't care. Somebody will be there. You benefit from losing at this point. It's 2-7. I can't watch it anymore. And they need to trade everyone. They need to trade Slayton. They need to trade Azeez Ojulari. They need to trade anybody who has any kind of value who will not be a part of this team next year. It is time to break it down. It is time to pull the quarterback. It is time to do what they should have done last year instead of winning meaningless games against New England and Green Bay and the Eagles. Instead of those meaningless wins that did absolutely nothing for them, as we watch the Commanders suddenly transform themselves in one season. We saw it last year with Stroud and the Texans. We're seeing it this year with the Commanders. They're 7-2. And does it take a Hail Mary against Chicago? Yeah. There's something special when you get that guy in your building. There's something special when he takes over a team. There's something special when he begins to lead a group and instill belief. That's what's happening with Washington. And it's the opposite of what's happening with the Giants. Over and over again, it's the same. You could take this win, this loss with every other loss they've had. There's been some disastrous ones. There's been some where Daniel Jones is 100% the reason they've lost. There's been some where it's real ugly early. But, I mean, you want to talk about the same ugly start, miserable first half, find a way to get something going late, just enough bad plays to lose. It's over and over and over again.
What are we watching? It's 2-7. They're tied with a bunch of teams for the worst record in the NFL. They haven't won a game at home all year. Their defense, which has been the bright spot of this team for a lot of the year, and their ability to rush the passer, gets zero sacks and gives up huge plays. We'll get into the two-point conversion, and everybody, oh, you go for two after Daniel Jones scores that touchdown, and you don't get it, you lose all momentum. You didn't lose momentum on the two-point conversion. You lost momentum when you forced a 3rd and 9 and you allow a screen pass to Eckler for 30 yards. That's when you lost momentum. That's when. The defense gives up big plays. The offense hardly makes any. Round and round and round and round we go. It's time to end this thing. I can't take it anymore. And I'm telling you, next week is as important a game as they will play all year. Go to Germany, find a way to lose. Go hit the streets of Frankfurt. I was there. You can spend quite the evening out in Frankfurt. Enjoy yourself, Giants. Go ahead. No curfew. I'm just so fed up watching this team over and over and over again. And if we are going to believe in this coach, and I've been saying it the entire year, oh, there's no reason to fire him. It would be stupid to fire him. He's not on the hot seat. It's ridiculous. The roster, but like, I'm okay if they want to keep him, but does anybody think he's doing a bang-up job right now? I mean, we watch this offense. It's the same every week. Right? The clock management at the end of the game is questionable, not calling the timeouts before the 2-minute warning. You get the 2-point conversion nonsense that we'll get into that I don't even know if I like necessarily. We'll get into all the different elements of it. It's a decision they go with, analytic based, whatever. We'll get to it before we end the show here at 888-808-1019. We'll talk. I know everyone's a big conversation point, like it matters. Like, it actually matters. Oh, they could have been down 3. Oh, yeah, they could have only been down 3. And then the defense let them go right down the field. It didn't matter if they were down 3, 25, 1, tie game. They weren't winning. Was there ever a moment in this game that you thought the Giants could win it? Was there ever a moment that you thought the Giants could win this game? Not a second. Not for a second. Certainly not after the turnover. That was the tie game, they're going down the field. Maybe if they jump out to a lead, then you get the fumble, which honestly, I laughed out loud when Mark Sanchez looked at the replay and said, ooh, I think the ball is out. You think the ball is out? It's down his forearm before his hand goes forward. I mean, it's just, the Giants are a frustrating, frustrating team to root for, a frustrating team to watch. I have no idea how I feel about the coach or GM, but if they're going to be here, let's not worry about a bad season. Like, honestly, and Connor Hughes, again, I'll give him credit because I heard him say it. He's 100% right. I've been saying the same thing. I've been saying it since last year when I was screaming the trade Saquon Barkley that I don't care about how ugly the season gets. Let it get ugly. At 2-7, does it matter? They're irrelevant. Here's the bottom line. The New York Giants are irrelevant. They're irrelevant in the NFL. They're irrelevant in their division. They're irrelevant in our minds. They're irrelevant. Completely and utterly irrelevant. What's the difference how bad it gets when there are distinct advantages of having the worst record? Change the rules. But until the rules aren't changed, unless there's a lottery instilled in the draft, right now, the Giants benefit from losing these games. And Daniel Jones needs to be pulled, not only because he's not the future of the franchise, and it's not because he's costing them games, because if that were the case, I'd play him. He's not uplifting the team. He's not the leader of this team. He's not the franchise quarterback. And he plays with such wild abandon, which I give him credit for and actually respect the hell out of him for, but it's going to get him hurt again. That play, that touchdown run, is the prime example of why he needs to not play, because he's taken on defensive ends, dropping his shoulder down. And God bless him. I love him. It got me hyped. I respect the hell out of the dude. He's going to get hurt. This team needs to move on from anything that's not tied down, get as much draft capital as you can, and start to rebuild this thing and hopefully get a franchise quarterback. That this is the one thing this coach has been proven to do. But 27-22 against the Commanders in a ho-hum, same way they lose every stinking game, in a 2-7 dead season on November 3rd. It's so predictable, and it's just the same thing every year. I can't take it anymore. And we won't, because we won't watch, and we won't care, and we won't talk about it. And we'll just blindly go along. Maybe the Jets can go on a run, but this Giant team is just, they find ways to lose. Those big defensive plays at the end of the first half, the big after they scored that touchdown, that's the play. We can argue about the two-point conversion. They don't get the two-point conversion. They force the first two plays for 1 yard. They have a third and nine. Washington's got a third and nine on the 25 or whatever it was. Third and nine, they allow a 30-yard screen pass to Eckler. At the end of the first half, big third and long. Wide receiver screen, another screen pass. Missed one tackle, gone for 30 yards. Big plays, inopportune times, unable to get off the field, as well as putting up really no points, over 22 points, and we're throwing a party. Hey, I can't tell you how many times I heard it. Well, the offense scored 22. I mean, you scored 22. 22? They're averaging less points than any team in the NFL. You don't score 22 points and expect victory in the NFL anymore. It's a joke. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. The Giants are just floundering in the same position they've been in for a decade. And it's like, it's Groundhog's Day. It's the worst movie of Groundhog's Day. It is a remake, the likes of which, you know, Hollywood's constantly making remakes. The Giant remake of Groundhog's Day every single year is just, it's atrocious. It is absolutely atrocious. And it's time that they get into the part of the movie where Bill Murray just loses it.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doesn't care. It's time to go.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, McMonagle back with you at 228 on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Another disappointing loss for the New York Giants, who are now 2-7. And I was just looking at, there are so many teams 2-7. Like, the Giants are going to have to figure out a way to jump a lot of teams here. Now, the only benefit is some of them have the quarterback problem either solved or complicated, where you don't know where they'll go. Like New England, for example, is at the top. But right now, if you look at the draft, New England's 1, Jacksonville 2, New Orleans 3, Carolina 4, Cleveland 5, Vegas 6, Giants 7th. Those are all the 7 2-7 teams in the NFL. Miami and Tennessee are 2-6. Jets and Dallas have 3 wins. But New England, who, if you saw May make that play to send it to overtime, I mean, he looks, his ability to run, his ability to throw, he's been looking like a legitimate player, so they will not be drafting a quarterback. They'll be looking to trade back if they get the number one overall pick. Jacksonville, I have no idea. They just gave the contract to Lawrence. I don't know. I mean, you know, as Tiki says, the salary cap is fungible, and maybe they could figure out a way, and if they're that down on him, and he has been bad, they could figure out a way to move on from him and draft a quarterback, but that would be a tricky situation. New Orleans just got Carr, but they could probably get out of that and figure out a way to draft a young quarterback. Carolina, young, but you would probably move on from that. So, like, it's just, it is amazing right now that that's what I'm doing. That at 2:30, one break into the show, I'm looking at Tankathon and trying to figure out how the Giants can move up, because that's what the season has become. It's what the season has become. That's where this New York Giant team is. Getting beat by Washington, the one team, and to watch them rise up here and be 7-2 and beat the Giants twice this year. They've been swept in the last 20 years twice by the Commanders. And now make it a third time. I mean, this is a team that the Giants typically, after being, you know, they get beat by Philadelphia and the Cowboys over and over and over and over and over again. But this was the team in the division that you had an opportunity to win these games. And really, after the fumble, there was not a second in this game I thought they would win. Not a second. Just not, I mean, Washington is just a better team with a better quarterback who instills more faith in this group. And they're on a special ride at 7-2. How long will it go? I don't know. I bet you they're a playoff team at 7-2. Might very well win this division. Certainly the Cowboys don't seem to be a threat right now. It's a Commanders-Eagles division to be had. But at 2-7, this Giant team is just, it's the same crap. And we'll get to the two-point conversion stuff. And we'll get to some of the other aspects of this game. But it's time to move anything that's not tied down to the future, which is very few pieces. And it's time to bench Daniel Jones, because not because he isn't very good, which he isn't, not because he doesn't give them the best chance to win. God knows he does. Even more reason to bench him. But I'm telling you right now, he is a tough son of a gun. I respect the hell out of Daniel Jones for that. Like, when he runs, he doesn't look for the sidelines. He doesn't look to slide. He doesn't look to go down. He's looking to run right through you. And I can't afford a quarterback who I can't have injured out there running through people over and over again, let alone the bad offensive line without Andrew Thomas, who, I mean, just changed the complete complexion of this entire offensive line and how Daniel Jones plays football, too. Like, that's the sign of a bad team. You can't lose one player and feel like the entire, that side of the ball is just inept, other than quarterback. That's how teams are built. You lose the quarterback, I get it. Any other position, even if it's a great left tackle, as Andrew Thomas is, it can't have the impact it has on this team. But none of this matters anymore. At 2-7, none of it matters. It's all about the future. And if this coach is secure in his job, and that's, you'll find out whether or not the coach who earlier in the year felt like he was coaching for his job has gotten a vote of confidence from the owner. The owner has talked about he doesn't expect changes. Is there a scenario where they go, you know, 2-15 and they do deem that bad enough to move on? But I think that would be a mistake. I think 2-15 is the best place I see this coach actually being productive for this team. 7 wins, I don't know where you go with Brian Daboll. 2 wins, I know exactly where to go with him. 888-808-1019. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking the call, man. Yeah. Well, you're talking about bailing out already.
Yep.
And selling everything, but you want to keep the coach and the GM who are making this mess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to. I think the owner, my point is,
Reason why it's a mess.
Well, then fire them.
You want to get rid of them last.
No, I don't want to get rid of them last. The owner, who I'm not, has already come out and given them a vote of confidence. My point is, if the coach
and
GM...
smoke screens. He's getting rid... He, listen, okay. Soon as Mara left that little note, he's not going to be able to sleep at night when Barkley is on Philadelphia scoring touchdowns. Yeah. That's going to come back and bite him.
Maybe. My point is, if they are not coaching and playing for their jobs, like if the coach is going to come back next year, the only reason to keep players and try and not have a losing season here that just feels hideous and disgusting and leaves you with the top overall pick is that you want to show that the coach has some feel for the team, that they'll fight for him, that the season doesn't want to get so ugly that the coach keeps his job. But if they know the coach is keeping his job, if the idea is that Mara is going to stick with this plan, then it's without question in the best interest of the New York Giants to sell, get everything, and lose every single game. That's okay. My point.
But the problem is, Daboll, he's designing, first of all, they have no running game, right? Unless they're doing screening or something like that, everything is up the middle, up the middle, up the middle, up the middle. You know what? I could call those plays.
This guy's supposed to be a guru. They ran for 164 yards and a touchdown. That's terrible.
Wait a minute. You got Dan Quinn and Washington, and within 1 year, beating your brains in.
Yep.
That says everything about Daboll and Shane.
I don't think it's about Quinn. It's about the quarterback.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not, because he can put up 2 touchdowns a game. Daboll can't coach himself out of a paper bag.
I mean, listen. Right now, I'm not going to defend Brian Daboll. I'm not trying to say Brian Daboll can't get fired.
Dan Quinn did it in 1 year. Remember, Sal Licata said Dan Quinn is the worst. I'm waiting for two big mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Sal Licata, who said Dan Quinn is the worst coach in NFL history, right? And Gio, when is he going to jump on the Vikings bandwagon and start going to games?
Well, Eddie, I wish you your best on your revenge tour, whatever that's worth. God bless you. I hope it works out for you. Dan Quinn is not a great head coach. I don't believe him to be. I know right now he's 7-2 with the Commanders, and maybe he'll change my mind. He also was the head coach of a Falcons team that found ways to lose, and that Super Bowl was just the beginning of how they blew every big game. And then look what happened to the Cowboys defense last year. Dan Quinn is doing a fine job. They're 7-2. It has a lot more to do with the quarterback than it has to do with the head coach. I believe that. I think Jaden Daniels is the number one reason why they're 7-2, not Dan Quinn. But I won't argue with you. And again, if they announce tomorrow that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are fired, I don't know how you could be that upset with it. I agree with you. I mean, I don't know about can't coach his way out of a paper bag, but again, here we are, 2-7. He had a great first year. Great first year. Since then, it's been really, really bad. Some of the same problems with they don't learn from their mistakes, like with the kicker situation. The offense just isn't scoring points. They can't get a run game going. They abandoned the run last week. They seem to focus on it in the first half of this game probably to their detriment. Like, yeah, listen, they're 2-7. I'm just saying, I think the owner has made a decision. I think the owner is like, look, I'm going to ride with these guys. I'm tired of changing so much year in and year out. They told me this was going to be a big time undertaking. They told me where they were with the cap. They told me where this roster was. They had an incredible year one. And in many ways, that year one was the worst thing that could happen to them because they had to pay the quarterback. They had to make decisions as if they were a team that was ahead of schedule when they weren't. And it ends up being a disastrous year despite it being a winning season, which is what sucks the most. Like, of all the things that suck, I can't even look back on that year fondly. You know, like the Mets right now are looking to hopefully look back on this year as a real great year. That is the beginning of something special with the Mets. Giant fans can't look at that season as, hey, what a great year. They made the playoffs. Daniel Jones had a great game in Minnesota. That was as fun a game as we've had in forever. They made the playoffs. That was just a great, you know, came from behind again, you know, 10 points against Lamar and the Ravens came from behind 10 points in London in the fourth quarter to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. That first win against Tennessee in week one was an incredible win with a 2-point conversion. Like, just so many fun things happened that year. so many good things. They won a playoff game on the road. Wow, what a great year. Instead, you look at it and you go, it hurt the rebuild of this team. They clearly weren't somehow smoke and mirrors, and I'll give Brian Daboll a lot of credit. Like, I heard Laurie talking about, and we were talking about before the show started, the difference in Daniel Jones from his rookie year to now and how he's kind of been neutered. And if you look at him, he was throwing touchdown passes, he was going down the field, he was taking chances, but he's been so coached to not make mistakes, he's been so coached that his fumbles and turnovers are what's going to keep him from being a quarterback in this league, plus getting hit all the time from the offensive line. He's kind of a shell of that, I don't know if you want to say swashbuckling, but that kind of daring quarterback, he's a shell of that guy. And for one season, Brian Daboll was able to take that shell of Daniel Jones, that careful, don't make mistake Daniel Jones, and coach it up just enough and play just enough of a crappy schedule and have the defense make just enough plays and have Saquon Barkley be just freaking good enough where Daniel Jones being careful, not making mistakes, not putting the ball in harm's way, looking for his number one option when it's not there, tucking and running. Like, that was just enough to get them into the playoffs, get him going well, have him play one great game against Minnesota, and all of that led to them having to make a decision on his contract, having to, because honestly, if he's terrible, he bottoms out, they probably tag Saquon Barkley for a year. I mean, they probably give Saquon Barkley that contract and look for a quarterback, probably either draft one or, like, this whole thing is different. They're in a far better situation right now if they don't have that winning season. And I don't want to turn away. It's one thing to be upset about wins last year against Green Bay and New England. Like, I think those are meaningless wins. I will never say making the playoffs and winning a playoff game is meaningless. So I don't want to trade those victories necessarily. But there's no way to not look at this and say, it hurt the team. They are worse off because of that run. And that sucks. That you can't even point to the one good year they've had in the last decade and say, hey, look, at least that was good. It wasn't. It ends up being a disaster. It's very difficult right now to because the Giants are just in no man's land. I mean, they're in the worst place you could be. At 2-7, because I don't trust them to bottom out. They're going to play Daniel Jones. They're going to win some games. They're going to go beat Carolina in Green Bay. They're going to go beat Carolina in Germany. They'll probably win another game or two on the schedule. They'll finish with 5-6 wins. They'll get the 13th pick. And what do they do? I have no idea. And so it's just now they can't even beat the Washington Commanders. They're 7-2. They have the worst quarter, and Dak has been awful this year. They have the worst quarterback situation in the division. They probably have the worst roster in the division. I mean, I guess I could, maybe they don't have the worst head coach right now. I mean, McCarthy's been awful, but has Daboll been any better? I don't know what they do better than anybody else in this division.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 248, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. So, one of the more unpopular trends in football happened in this game for the New York Giants, and everybody's in a tizzy about it. And I'm honestly on the fence about the whole thing. There's just an angle of it that I don't know if I agree with. So, obviously, the Giants are down in this game. 24-10, 14 points in the third quarter. The Giants marched down the field on a 13-play, 80-yard drive and put it in the end zone with the Daniel Jones run off the edge, taking on the defenders and getting into the end zone.
And so now there's an analytical trend in football that when you're down 14 points, and I think maybe the beginning of the fourth quarter when this happened is a little early for it, but I don't know. But anyway, the analytical trend in the NFL is when you're down 14 points, when you score your first touchdown, instead of taking the extra point to go down 7, go for 2. And it's pretty much the thought process is that the extra point, the two-point conversion is a 50% play in the NFL. It has been traditionally. I think this year it's actually down a little bit, and certainly for the Giants, and we'll get to that aspect of it in just a second here. But they pretty much call a two-point conversion a 50-50 play. So if you're down 14, you score a touchdown, you go for the two-point conversion. If you get it, now you're down 6, and the next touchdown, you win the game with an extra point. That's the thought process, right? You get the two-point conversion on your first touchdown. Now you're down 6 instead of down 7. The next touchdown, an extra point, would give you a one-point lead, right? If you miss the extra point on the first touchdown, now you're still down only 8, which is a one-score game. And again, the two-point conversion is a 50-50 proposition, analytically speaking. And so you're, you know, even though each time you run the play, it's 50-50, it doesn't work just like, oh, I didn't get it last time, I'll get it this time. But they consider if you're going to do it twice, you're going to get it once. That's how they view it. So if you don't get it the first time, you still have a second opportunity on your second touchdown to get the two-point conversion and tie the game. That's how they view it. It's become a analytic trend. It's become something NFL teams, not just the New York Giants, but NFL teams throughout the league have been doing. And a lot of people are in uproar. The Commanders go on to kick a field goal, and the Giants score that second touchdown and go for the two again and don't get it. Now they're down 5 instead of down 3 with an opportunity. If they make a stop, kick the ball, they could be down 3. I don't know if I love the play. I don't know. And yes, the Giants are 0-6 in two-point conversions this year. But that's the angle that I don't think is fair. Because what I'm hearing is you're not good at two-point conversions. The offense stinks. I heard Lori say it on my way in, and I happen to disagree with this thought process. If you're Patrick Mahomes, if you're a great offense, if you're this, then I understand doing it. But the Giants are so lousy that it doesn't make sense. I don't know if you like it or not, because to me, there is a little momentum blown when you get a touchdown and then don't get the two-point conversion. It feels like, oh man, we came up small, even though you got the score. Now, if you watch this Giant game after that touchdown to make it 24-16, and then they don't get the two-point conversion, yes, they lost some momentum there. But at the beginning of the next drive for Washington, they've got a 3rd and 9, and the Giants give up a 30-yard screen pass. That's where the momentum's blown. If the Giants make a play on 3rd and 9 and get the ball back, nobody's screaming about momentum lost. It's the defense that doesn't hold its job that is the problem in the momentum department. But I even understand if you don't like the concept, right? I don't kick two-point conversions till I need to. If you want to win the game, score the first touchdown, kick the extra point, and then on the second touchdown, you want to go for 2 to win it, fine. I'm okay with that. But there's no reason to have a failed play that hinders momentum, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. I don't necessarily know how I feel about it. But what I think is you either believe it or you don't. And the idea that the Giants' offense is so bad that it doesn't make sense for them, I think the opposite. To me, yeah, they're bad at two-point conversion. Sure, they're bad at everything. What are the odds the Giants are going to get a 3rd touchdown drive? Like, that's how I view it. Right? The Giants are down 14 points. They're 2-7. Do you want an opportunity to win the game? Because if you kick extra points, even if you tie the game, you're going to need a scoring drive. I don't trust this offense to do that without Washington scoring more points. If I have an opportunity to win the game on only 2 touchdowns down 14, I feel like that's a better chance for a poor offense than asking them to get a 3rd scoring drive. So I don't know how I feel about it. You can determine whether or not you like the idea of going for 2 when you don't have to and making it so you'll need a 2-point conversion just to tie the game. We could have that discussion on whether or not you like the strategy. What I don't think is fair, even though they haven't been successful at 2-point conversions, and in this game, they were putrid plays that were run terribly,
I still, if I'm talking about a bad offense that isn't good at putting up points, period, who scored their, who had their first two touchdown passes in 600 days in this building, in this game, and who are haven't won a game this year in this building. If I don't do the strategy that Dable did, if I don't take the analytic play, if I don't go for the two-point conversion and try and win with two scores, that means at some point, whether later in this game or in overtime, I'm going to be asked to have another scoring drive. I don't trust this team to do that. If I want to win the game, my best chance to win it, it was with only needing two touchdowns, not three. So I don't hate the strategy. And I don't think it's fair to just say, well, the Giants' offense isn't good if you're Patrick Mahomes. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'll take the tie because I don't want to risk losing the game on one play because I trust Patrick Mahomes in overtime to go down the field. If I have Lamar Jackson, I know I feel good about a two-yard play for a two-point conversion or whatever the yardage is for a two-point conversion. I also feel good that if I get into a game moving forward in late fourth quarter or overtime, that I have an offense who can go down the field and set up a field goal with, oh, by the way, one of the great field goal kickers in the league as opposed to a guy I just picked up this year because my second field goal kicker's been injured. Like, do I want to get into a late game situation when I don't trust my kicker? You cannot like the strategy. You cannot like the analytics. That's fine. But I find it really tough to tell me I don't trust this offense. That's why I can't try and win it then. No, I trust them to make plays later on in the game. Why? I don't trust them at all. I have an opportunity to win with two touchdowns or I need a third. I'll take trying to win with two. And if they can't score a two-point conversion, shame on them. That's my only point. I have to wrap my mind around it. It's, to me, when I score a touchdown down 14, I want to just kick the extra point and make it seven. That's what we've been doing forever. That's what I feel comfortable with. I understand the logic and the analytics of this new strategy. I do. I don't know if I like it or not. But I don't know if I like it for Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if I like it for Lamar Jackson. I don't know if I like it for Josh Allen. The same as I don't know if I like it for Bryce Young. I don't know if I like it for Daniel Jones. I don't know if I like it for Bo Nix. Like, it's all the same. I either like it or I don't. I don't think the ineptitude of the Giant offense is something that hangs in the balance on whether or not that's a good decision. Because I can make the case that it's even more imperative for a bad offense to try and win the game on two touchdowns as opposed to asking for more. And especially with the situation I find myself in with the kicker. You want me to try and play for overtime with a kicker I can't trust? With a kicker who was sitting on his couch last week? That's who I'm supposed to, like, go into. I'm going supposed to go to overtime and late in game situations against Jaden Daniels and the best field goal kicker in the league? I'll take my chances with a 2-point conversion, thank you very much. Like, it's not crazy. And it's nothing to yell about. It's not why they lost the game. And again, it's certainly like, give me their, oh, their offense stinks. Okay, so yeah, let's play for them needing more long, sustained touchdown drives. Let's do that instead of taking a chance on a one play to give them a chance to win a game on an extra point. You can like it, you can dislike it. The Giants' offense really shouldn't play into it. Because I think you can make a strong case the weaker your offense, the weaker your kicking game, the weaker you've been at the end of these games, the more disasters that have taken place over the last handful of years with your kicker, with your late game situations, with losing it in the final play. All of those things have favored the other team as opposed to the New York Giants for years. But that's how I'm supposed to be playing this game? I'm supposed to be playing this game for the tie and hope that I can get another touchdown or field goal drive with a kicker I can't trust? And for those of you who say, because I got a couple of these tweets, oh, just save the two-point conversion for the last one and go for the win like you did week one against Tennessee all those a couple of years ago. When you go for it the first touchdown, I have an opportunity to win. Like, if I wait for the second one, it's either win or lose. If I go for it on the first touchdown, I have a chance to win if I make it, and then I have a chance to tie if I don't on the second touchdown. I'm giving myself more options. If I wait for the last touchdown and just say I'm going for the win, I either win or I lose. Why, if I'm going to do that, if that's my strategy, and especially if that's my strategy, if Brian Daboll said, I'm not playing for overtime, in my mind, if we end up scoring that second touchdown, I'm going for two for the win. Well, then why not do it first and give yourself a chance to win the game there, or then at least set up for a chance of a tie with the second touchdown? Like, it's really, I know fans are up in arms about it because it's different. The strategy is sound. I don't know if I like it necessarily, but the strategy is sound. And I don't care if it's Daniel Jones or Patrick Mahomes. You either like it or you don't. And I'm not playing for overtime with a kicker I can't trust and an offense that isn't any good. And to say that because the offense isn't any good, it makes it less smart, I really don't see that argument.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.